Okay. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe we finished with verse 16. Is that right? Did we cover verse 16? Have we covered verse 17 yet? Okay. All right. Let's read beginning with verse 17 then. So, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. A man of wicked devices is hated." Look down in verse 23. "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury." And let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that once again that you'll open up our hearts, open up our minds, and allow us to receive these things tonight. I pray that you'll be our teacher, Holy Spirit, and that we will be receptive to the things that you have for us, and that we'll receive things that'll be practical for us to grow closer to you and do more work for you in the days to come. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 17, I want to read verse 17. It says, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. And a man of wicked devices is hated." I want to add with this verse 29. Let's read that along with that there. It says, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." So both of these verses are talking about a wrath or anger or being soon angry or... one that is slow of wrath is of great understanding. Here's what I have written down. He that is soon angry has no time to think. He that is soon angry hath no time to think. He that is slow of wrath is of great understanding. But he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Now you think of this. When a person, now I'm not talking about being angry, but a person that loses his temper, not necessarily having a temper, but losing the temper. When a person loses his temper, what always happens when a person loses temper, I mean every time a person loses their temper, what always happens? Every one of you can think of the answer because every one of you have done it before. You always say something you wish you hadn't said every time. There's probably not a single time that you ever lose your temper that you don't say something that you didn't mean or that you wished you hadn't said. Why? Because we don't think. He that is soon angry doesn't think or doesn't take time to think about what he's going to say. Truth of the matter is, every one of us, we ought to think about what we're going to say before we say it. Many times we can say things we don't mean even when we're not angry. But every time you're angry, you're going to say things that you didn't mean or that you shouldn't have said or that you wish you didn't say. I didn't say getting mad you'd say that. As long as you plan your anger, plan your mad, get mad at the right things, plan when you're going to get mad, plan when you're not going to get mad. Truth of the matter, most of us don't plan when we're going to get mad. You don't know... What you ought to do is you ought to have some things right now that you're going to get mad about. You ought to plan out your anger. You ought to know what things are going to make you mad. You ought to know what to get mad about. And then when those things don't happen, then you ought not be mad. Many times we get mad at things we ought not get mad at, and we don't get mad at the things we ought to get mad at. Many times we don't get mad at sin. Now, if there's one thing in the world God got mad at, he gets mad at sin. God gets mad at doing wrong. He gets mad at that. You look through the Bible, God got mad a lot of times. Now, there's not sin getting mad. The thing that's wrong is getting mad when you're not supposed to get mad. That's what's wrong, and that's what's sin. And so what happens when we get mad, when we're not supposed to be mad, or when we lose our temper, we always end up saying something we shouldn't have said or saying something we didn't mean. By the way, let me say this also. Now, we ought never do it. Ought never lose your temper. You ought to always control your spirit. Ought never lose your temper. Ought to always have controlled madness. But never lose your temper. And when we do, we always say something we shouldn't have said. And those are things that we can never... The Bible teaches that we will be judged for every word that we speak. Every word we say will be judged for one day. Therefore, since we're going to be judged for it, we better be in control of what we say, in control of what we're going to say. And the best way to do that is by never losing our temper. Best thing to do, if you feel a mad coming on when a mad shouldn't be coming on, count to 10, count to 100. Some of us need to count to 1,000 because the madness keeps building up. Count to 1,000, go lock yourself in a room and grab the Bible and start reading it. Do something, but don't lose your temper. Because we're always sorry when we lose our temper. Every time we're sorry when we lose our temper. By the way, let me say this also. Occasionally, it may happen. I'm not saying we ought to ever, but I'm saying if somebody else loses their temper at us, realize this. When they lose their temper, they're always going to say something they don't mean. They're going to do it. Just realize that. When somebody loses their temper, now nobody in this room ought to ever lose their temper, ought not lose it. But if somebody outside of this room comes to you and loses their temper, we'll make it safe here, won't we? That way I'm not preaching to anybody in this room. Then you can enjoy this. When somebody outside of this room comes to you and loses their temper, realize every time they lose their temper, they're going to say something they didn't mean. And many times what we have to do is just forgive what those that lose their temper say, because we know they didn't mean it when they said it. You can't hold somebody to what they said when they lost their temper. Now, they never should have done it in the first place. We can't hold them to it anyway. Be able to forgive those that have lost their temper that haven't had the Bible study that we're having tonight. So first of all, don't lose your temper. Don't ever lose it, because every time you do, you're sorry you did. And every time you do, you're going to say things you shouldn't have said. Why? Because it doesn't give you time to think about what you're going to say before you say it. So plan your temper. Plan your madness. Know what you're going to get mad at. And plan what you're going to say. Think. Look before you leap. Think before you speak. And the only way to do that is by not losing your temper, but by always being in control of your spirit and being in control of your temper. So he that is soon angry has no time to think. Let's look down at verse 23. We're skipping around a few verses now, not to be as much repetitive, and to find a few new thoughts here. In verse 23, notice the Bible says, "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury." The word penury there is a word that's translated poverty, or want, or lack, or need, or poor. So actually it's talking about poverty here. Now, truth of the matter is, it's not God's plan for us to go without our needs. It's not God's plan. But occasionally there will be people that will go with their needs not met. And there's reasons for it. People lose their money or waste their money or have their needs not met. Now, God says he will take care of our needs. When? When we seek him first and his righteousness or his right doing. God will always meet our needs when we are doing right. Always. He has to. It's his promise. He will meet our needs when we seek him first, put him first in our lives. And many folks say, well, I just can't meet my needs. Well, maybe you're not putting Jesus first. You put him first and his righteousness. The other thing is, many of us don't have the character in our finances we ought to have. There are many things in the book of Proverbs that talks about finances. This particular thing I want to give to you this evening is this thing on penury or poverty. Or we could put it in today's terms, bankruptcy. What causes bankruptcy? What causes poverty? What causes not having our needs met? And I'll show you several things or several principles in the book of Proverbs that cause bankruptcy or cause poverty. Let's look at, or lead to poverty. May not bring you there, but lead you on the road to it. Look in Proverbs chapter 5. Read a few verses there and show you one of the things that leads to poverty or leads to bankruptcy, leads to not having your needs met. In Proverbs chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh to the door of her house." Of course, this is talking about the evil woman, the strange woman, the Bible says. In verse 9, "Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel." Notice verse 10, "Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger." So Bible teachers, here's one of the things that will lead to poverty. It's on the head you on the road to poverty. Here we see the strange woman, or the evil woman, and she draws this man to her, and this man and this woman, or he is drawn to this woman, and has an immoral relationship. The Bible says that will lead to poverty. So one of the things in the Bible that leads to poverty, then, is an immoral relationship. Immoral relationships lead to poverty, lead to having your needs not met. And therefore, the Bible teaches then, stay away from immoral relationships, not only for money reasons, but it will lead to poverty. Look over in Proverbs chapter 6. I'll show you a second reason. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9. There are several verses that go along with this verse. We'll not look at all of them, but we'll read these few here. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little fold into the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. So another thing that leads to poverty then is laziness, or sluggard, or laziness will lead to poverty. Now mark that down, laziness, or here's another way we could put it, no desire for gainful employment. Laziness, love of sleep, or no desire for gainful employment. The Bible teaches, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. What happened was, and back during that time when that verse was written, many were coming to the church and asking for money, asking for their needs to be met by the church. And what Paul is teaching there, not everybody is deserving of money. There are certain that are deserving of it and certain that are not deserving of it. Those that are lazy or sluggards or desirous of sleep are not deserving of it. If they don't work, they don't eat, what Paul was saying. You can't help everybody that needs help. You can't help them all. But you can help those that actually need the help. Help those that need it, not those that think they need it. There's a difference there. So one thing that will lead to poverty is no desire of gainful employment. See, what's happened today is the government has assumed the responsibility of helping those that need it and those that don't need it. That's what happened. And the government has taken away from most people, or many people, they've taken away from them the desire for gainful employment. If you can make more on welfare than you can outworking the job, then they say, why should I work the job? If I can make more on welfare than doing honest day's work, then why should I do the honest day's work if I can make more on welfare? And we have generated a welfare society where they've been entrapped by that thinking, where they don't want to work, they have no desire to work, and as a result of that, we have we've made a whole generation, a whole new generation in our country today that don't desire to work, have no desire for gainful employment. Now, I'm not talking about those that need assistance. I'm not talking about those that have to have it. But I'm talking about those that can work and those that don't work and have no desire to work and live off the government or welfare for their money, for their assistance. That's what I'm talking about. By the way, because of that, what we've started is we've got a generation that wants to begin at the top. That's what they want to do. They don't want to start at the bottom and work their way up to the top anymore. By the way, you check it out in the past. Those that have made it, they began at the bottom. They learned their job. They started there, and they worked and worked and worked and worked and worked until eventually they arose to the top. That's the proper way of doing it. You mark this down. Anything that comes free or comes easy is not going to be appreciated. Easy come, easy go. And we've raised a generation today of easy come, easy go. We've given and given and given and given and given, and now there's no appreciation. All we have left now is those that expect something now. They expect something. The only thing the government owes us is the freedom to go out and work. That's all the government owes us. Government owes us freedom to protect us so that we can earn a living. That's the job of the government. And the government's taken away from the church many of their responsibilities and have taken upon themselves, and as a result of that, we've weakened the character of our nation, weakened the character of those. If it came back to the church again, where the church would bring the poor in and teach the poor how not to be poor anymore. what ought to be done. There's plenty of principles in here that teach them that, teach them that to get some character and to have some gainful employment and to earn their money, and to teach them that again. If we could teach them that, they wouldn't be poor anymore. And they wouldn't have their needs not met anymore anyway. And many times what we call poor is not poor. We've got to have two cars in the garage and color TV and everything else in the world. And every poor person, you would believe, I've been in homes where the floors were broken out of the home. They had a $1,200 color TV console sitting there on the floor, and they had to move it around so they could find a place good enough on the floor to hold the TV up. Now, that's not poor, I don't think. And that's the kind of generation we've got today. And so another thing that leads to poverty is no desire for gainful employment. Helping those with a desire or with a desire for gainful employment is proper, but helping those that don't have desire for gainful employment is taking them out of God's perfect plan for their life. It'll hurt them more than it will help them, giving to those that don't have any desire for gainful employment. So one thing that'll lead to poverty, immoral relationships. Another thing that'll lead to poverty is no desire of gainful employment. Look in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. The Bible says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." Third thing that leads to poverty then is a lack of diligence. Lack of diligence. Doing your best. By the way, we ought to do our best in all that we do. Young people, you do your schoolwork, you ought to do your very best in it. When you're at school doing your work, you ought to do your very best. We've come to a place where we judge based on whether you get an A or not. What we ought to do is judge on whether you did your best or not. If you got a B and you could have got an A, then you didn't do your very best. If you got a C and that's all you could get and you did your best, we ought to pat you on the back for that more than we should on a person that got a B that should have got an A. What we ought to do is determine whether a person did their very best or not, if they were diligent, if they were a hard worker in it. And you'll learn more being a hard worker than you will just coasting through getting A's and not working. If you can get A's on everything and not work, you ought to work anyway. You ought to be diligent in any. You ought to try for 100. If you get A's, try for A pluses. But be diligent. Do the very best you can do. Lack of diligence leads to poverty. Fourthly, look in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. We've gone over these verses before. Notice it says, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. A blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it." So the Bible teaches then, we wrote down for this, you get by giving. But here's one thing that causes poverty then, is not giving. Not giving causes poverty. When a person gives, God blesses them, but not giving when you can give brings poverty. By the way, God always blesses those that are obedient to Him. When we are obedient to Him, God will bless our obedience to Him. So one way that I can call, it's amazing how many folks say, "Well, I can't afford to give." Yeah, you'll never be able to afford to give until you start giving. Anybody that doesn't give, now here's another misconception. Many people say this, "Well, if I give, will I get more money?" Not necessarily. If you give, God may give you more, but not necessarily more money. God may make that car run a little longer without having to fix up on it. God may make your kids healthier so you don't have to go to the doctor. God will give you more money. You'll have more money, but not necessarily raise your pay or give you money in the mailbox. But you will end up with more money by being obedient to Him and by giving than you would have not by not giving. Many people say, "Well, if I give, then I'm going to get a $100 bill in my mailbox." No, not necessarily. But you might walk down to the store when you needed a pair of shoes, and you might have got a $50 pair of shoes for $15. God will bless you when you give. And if you'll give, God will take care of your needs. It's amazing to me, those folks say, well, I can't afford to give. Yeah, the reason you can't afford to give is because of all the bills that God's given you because you haven't given. That's why. You start giving, and you can pay your bills, and you'll have more left over than you would have by not giving. You can live better on less income given to God than you can on a bigger income not given to God. Because that money's going to go someplace. It's going to get eaten up by something. And by the way, it's not necessarily how much a person gives. It's what they do with what they give, or how much they give in proportion to what they have. Remember the widow that came in and gave the widow's mite? There are other men that came in and gave a lot, gave great portions of money. But they gave out of their great abundance. This woman gave out of all that she had. And Jesus noticed what that widow gave, but didn't notice anything else that was given. Isn't that amazing? God noticed what she gave. And Jesus made a comment about what she gave, but didn't make a comment about all the other money that was given that day. Why? Because he knew her heart. And she gave out of her need, out of her want, she gave. Not out of her abundance, like many give. So, one way of becoming poor or having poverty is by not giving. You don't give, and you're going to end up with more bills than you can shake a stick at. I'll guarantee you, you'll have bills coming in, and more bills here, and more bills here. You'll pay top dollar for your doctor. You'll pay top dollar for your clothes. You'll pay top dollar for your car. You'll pay the most expensive for your food. You mark it down. You can live better by giving. Mark it down. You may not have a $100 raise next week by giving, but you can live better by giving. And so by not giving leads to poverty. There's just more bills, and it's just a vicious cycle that people get in by not giving and not doing it God's way. Look in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11. Here's another way that leads to poverty. By the way, what I'm trying to teach you is don't do these things, and you won't go into poverty. What I'd like to do was... Good night. Wouldn't it be nice if we had a wealthy church, if everybody in here was wealthy? What would be wrong with that? I wouldn't mind if everybody in here had $1 million. I wouldn't want $1 million. I'd be satisfied with $500,000. But I'd like to have everybody else here in $1 million. That's what it'd take me to get out of debt. No. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. So there's another thing. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathers by labor shall increase. So another thing is wealth gotten without labor. Wealth gotten without labor. That's the way it ought to be done nowadays. That's what everybody wants to do. The more they can get for the less work, that's what everybody's looking for. Higher wages, less work, less hours, less time, more time off, and that's what everybody's bucking for. Now we got people; they'll go out and they'll march around some factory for a month without pay to get a 25-cent raise. You know, it'd take them 10 years to make back the money they lost by marching around the building for a month. And it's made more folks; they want to strike for better benefits, more pay, less work, and people striking all the time. And labor unions coming in and getting folks riled up about this and getting them mad at their administration and bucking the authority and everything else. What they ought to do is just get to work. Work, quit marching around, and work. You work for a day's pay. Take you 2 weeks of marching for one day's pay, just about, probably. And if they just get to work, they'd be making more than they would by marching around. Take them 10 years to make back what they lost. And so everybody wants wealth without labor. That's what people want. By the way, they have no appreciation. No appreciation. Anything that comes easy, you're not going to appreciate anyway. So easy come, easy go. Look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. So poverty comes to him that refuseth instruction. So rejecting instruction or rejecting reproof, or actually this word instruction means, we've seen it several times before, discipline. Rejecting discipline or reproof comes to poverty. What we have today is a generation that says, we don't want to hear. I already know what I want in life. I already know I can't be taught. By the way, every one of us can be taught. Everybody in here knows something I don't know. There are people in here that can do things I can't do. Remember, we were talking earlier about fixing the car. Every time I try to fix my car, it comes out worse than it was before I started. Every time I fix a car, I got to sell the thing. Say, as is, buddy, it's yours. Take it. I've tried. Believe it or not, I've tried working on a car. I'd like to be able to work on it. There are certain things I can do. There are certain things I can't do with a car. For instance, Paul Barnum can do things on a car that I can't do. And so there's things that he can do I can't do. That's probably the only thing he can do I can't do. There's things Paul Barnum can do that I can't do. My wife can cook. I can't cook. I'm a horrible cook. Every Thursday, when my wife goes well on Ladies Soul Winning, and I feed me and the kids, and my kids lose 5 pounds every Thursday. That's how I keep them. Try to keep them trim that way. She goes out on Thursdays, and I try to feed the kids on Thursdays. Bless their hearts. And I don't have time. I don't eat. Now I try to make it look like everything I make for them. I make a big story about it and make it look good and appetizing, and they'll eat it, but I won't. Normally, they're eating something that I wouldn't eat. Kids, now close your ears and don't listen to this. What I'm going to make you tomorrow is going to be the best thing you ever ate in your entire life. Well, she can cook. I can't cook. So there's something she knows. It's just hard for me to say. There's things she knows that I don't know. There's things she can do that I can't do. Boy, that was hard, but I got it out. And same with everybody in here. Some of you ladies know how to sew. Miss France knows how to sew. I don't know how to sew. I don't want to know how to sew. But she knows I can't do that. Things she knows that I don't know. Things she can do I can't do. That's the same with everybody in here. What happens is many times we get the idea that we know better than somebody else. Now, there might be some things we know somebody else doesn't know. But we ought to realize we can learn something from everybody. We ought to receive reproof, receive discipline, receive correction. We need those things because there are things that other people know in their fields that we don't know. Therefore, we ought to try to learn all we can from them. And then we can know what they know. But we need to learn and realize that we need to receive reproof, not reject it. Rejecting reproof, rejecting discipline, comes to poverty. Look in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 25. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. Another thing that leads to poverty, then, is wickedness. Or we could call this repeated transgression of God's word. Repeated transgression of God's word, or simply wickedness. We already saw, or we quoted Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you." God will always bless you. God will always meet your needs when you seek him first. Seeking him first and his righteousness, doing what is right to do, God will bless us. But going against God's word or doing anything that goes against it or contrary to God's word leads to poverty. So wickedness or repeated transgressions of God's word lead us to poverty. Look in Proverbs chapter 14. Verse 23. This is where we all begin. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. In other words, what it's saying there, when you're talking instead of working, that'll lead to poverty. Talking when you should be working. It's one of those verses that's written for ladies. And that's in the feminine text there. But talking instead of working. When a person ought to be working and they're talking instead of working, that leads to penury. We thought of that fellow, I don't remember what program it was. Some guy used to say, "No brag, just fact." No brag, just fact. And a person spends all their time bragging instead of working, it's going to lead to penury, lead to poverty, leads to bankruptcy. Look in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 17. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, and he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. So the love of pleasure leads to poverty. Those that love pleasure, man, they want all they want is pleasure. No work, nothing hard, no trials to go through. All they want is pleasure. That'll lead to poverty. By the way, a lot of times it's amazing. We see that without labor, they ought to earn what they get. Many times, for instance, these football players, basketball players, making $1 million a year or making $2 million a year for playing 16 football games a year, making $1 million a year for that. With that, after they retire, many of them are broke. These boxers go out and make $10 million in a fight. Got to keep fighting every 6 months because they ran out of money. Why? They got it easy, or they got this money for not without labor, with no character involved, without starting the bottom, work up and work for what you've got and learn how to use your money and learn God's way of investing. And they're getting paid far more than they deserve anyway for the work they're doing. They're getting money without labor involved in it. And now they've all got their agents that'll go and get them higher salaries, and their agents will get, oh man, sometimes 5 or 10 or 15% of whatever they can get for their athlete. It'd be nice to be an agent just for one of those $1 million athletes, wouldn't it? Man, look at all the money you make just getting him a $1 million contract. They have no character involved in it, no work involved in it, and other than getting your head beat in once a week. That's why a lot of times will lead to poverty. They've got the money, just didn't know how to use the money. Love of pleasure. Look in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 16. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. So oppressing the poor, he that impresses the poor or oppresses the poor to increase his riches, he will become poor himself. That leads to poverty. So you go out to, for instance, go to somebody that doesn't have a need, like trying to sell something to a person that doesn't need what you're trying to sell them. That'd be oppressing the poor. Trying to get them to buy something, they don't have the money to buy it. You try to get them to buy it, that'd be oppressing the poor. Trying to get get money from them that they don't have for something they don't need. So oppressing the poor. Notice also in verse 16, chapter 22, verse 16, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Giving to the rich leads to poverty. So oppressing the poor will lead to poverty. Giving to the rich will lead to poverty. Look in chapter 23, verse 21. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. So drunkenness leads to poverty. Number, what are we on? 13. Also in that verse, gluttony leads to poverty. Gluttony or waste. We in this country waste far more food than we need to waste in this country. It's amazing. Probably many people in the world today could live off the scraps that we throw away. We allow more food to spoil than many countries eat in a day. And we throw away more than many folks get to eat. And that's waste in this country. And as a result of that, this country will come to poverty someday, and we will come to poverty as a result of waste, gluttony, or waste. And you check it out through history. You find those that have been wasteful, those nations that have been wasteful, and those nations have fallen also as a result of that. Given to the rich, drunkenness, gluttony, or waste. Look at Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 19. There's a lot of chances, according to the Word of God, for a person to not have his needs met. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 19. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. So another thing is following after vain persons. Following after vain persons. Here's what that word vain means. It means empty or having no purpose. That's what it means. Having no purpose. It's amazing the people in our country today that have no purpose for their life. or they have an improper purpose. So an empty purpose or having no purpose leads to poverty, or following those that have no purpose, or vain people will lead to poverty. If you ever just stop to think, this usually happens when you, I had more to that sentence. Did you ever stop to think? No, never done that. Ever stop to think what would happen? Or usually this happens when you turn 30 years old, I guess. Turn 30 years old and you say, what is my purpose in life? What have I accomplished in life? Where am I going? What am I going to accomplish in life? Ever just stop to think, what is my purpose? What's my purpose for existence upon this earth? What am I here for? What am I accomplishing with my life? How sad it is. Now, every Christian has a purpose. Every saved person has a purpose in this life. And every one of us ought to find what that purpose is. Can you imagine those that have lived this life and die one day, those that are saved, die one day and go to heaven and live an eternity without having ever accomplished the purpose that they are placed upon this earth? What you do during your 70 upon this earth is what you're going to have forever, for all of eternity. And I'm sure there's going to be many in eternity that live there forever, looking back upon these few years that we lived here and suffering loss in eternity because of not doing what they could have done here. If every one of us could just get that thought right there, what is my purpose upon this earth? Is my purpose to make money? Is that my purpose on this earth? No, it's not our purpose. Is my purpose on this earth to be happy? Is that why I'm here? I can be happy for all of eternity. I don't need to be happy while I'm here. Why should I live my life to be happy? It's not my purpose for being here, is to be happy. But yet many people, that's what they want to do, is they want to live for pleasure upon this earth. Forget pleasure. You can sit back and relax for millions of years. Our purpose here is to bring glory to God. You read John chapter 15, you'll find one of the greatest ways to bring glory to God. That's by bearing fruit, getting people saved. What are you going to take to heaven? You're going to take your house? You're going to take your money? Like somebody asked, I think it was Rockefeller when he died, said, how much did he leave? Left it all. The truth of the matter is, that's what we're going to leave behind. We're going to leave it all. The only thing you're going to have up there is those you've led to Jesus. That's all you're going to have. But in your family, if you've won them to Jesus, and those converts that you've led to Jesus here upon this earth, that's all you're going to have in all of eternity. So what we better do is we better be storing up for the future, not living for happiness today. By the way, you live for God, and the happiness will come. Those that seek happiness, it's an amazing thing, those that seek happiness never find it. They're always looking for something else to make them happy. They live the most. You look for happiness in your life, and you'll live the most miserable life you can possibly live. Because everything that gives you happiness, you always got to have something more to make you happy again. And something more to make you happy again. You live your life to make God happy. And happiness, you'll end up running into happiness by accident. And you'll be happy serving God by not searching happiness and looking for happiness. You live your life to bring glory to Him. And as a result, you'll have happiness and you'll have joy and you'll have the things, the blessings that God gives. So following vain people, those with no purpose, those with empty lives, those that have no purpose in their life, or the improper purpose, living for pleasure, living for money, living for who knows what other reasons their life has revolved around. Look in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 22. You ought to make a note of this one here. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. How many folks have you run into that are always looking for the get-rich-quick scheme? They'll come up and say, man, this one can't fail. I mean, this is automatic. get rich quick. I'll guarantee you. By the way, there are no get rich quick scheme. There are none. If there was, everybody'd be doing it. Don't you think that this guy comes up to you and says, "Man, I've got a get rich, I got a way to get rich quick. Man, this thing right here, this can't fail." Yeah, if it can't fail, then why is he bothering you with it? He'd be investing all his money in it. If it was a sure way, with the way people are today, he doesn't care whether you're going to make any money on it. He wants your money is what he wants. And now get rich quicks, let me give you some characteristics of get rich quick. Number one, with a get rich quick scheme or a get rich quick philosophy, it assumes excessive debt. I'm always looking for the get rich quick scheme. They'll come up and say, "Man, this one can't fail. I mean, this is automatic get rich quick. I'll guarantee you." By the way, there are no get rich quick scheme. There are none. If there was, everybody'd be doing it. Don't you think that this guy comes up to you and says, "Man, I got a way to get rich. With a get rich quick scheme or a get rich quick philosophy, it assumes excessive debt. A get-rich-quick philosophy will assume excessive debt. Many people with that philosophy of get-rich-quick or wanting something before they can pay for it, that's the same philosophy, get-rich-quick, wanting something now that you can't pay for. And that's all part of the get-rich-quick scheme, having things now that you haven't paid for or you haven't earned yet. That right there will lead to poverty. People get themselves in more trouble by buying now because mom and dad have it rather than waiting until they can earn it like mom and dad earned it. And more people ruin their lives and get farther in debt than they can ever pay for or ever get out of by wanting to live higher than they can live, live better than they can live on the income they have. That's a get-rich-quick philosophy. Secondly, borrows money to invest. Not to get rich quick. I've got to have money to put in this thing right here. I'm going to make $100,000 on this thing in a year. If I just invest $10,000 and they'll borrow money from whoever they can find to invest that $10,000 to make all their big money. By the way, let me just say this about investments. If you can't afford to lose it, don't invest it. If you can't afford to lose it, don't invest it. Don't ever invest money that you need to make your pay your bills. Don't ever do it. If you can't afford to lose it, then don't invest it. And by the way, the higher the risk, the greater the income on an investment, the higher the risk on that investment. The lower that's just basic. If something says you're going to make 25% on your money, well, mark it down, you got just as much a chance of losing the money you invested on 25% of that money. If you can make 5% on your money, you got a pretty good chance of keeping that money, but that's not even guaranteed. Any money you invest, don't invest it unless you can afford to lose it. Get Rich Quick says we got to borrow money, and they'll borrow money they've worked for years, or they'll invest money that they needed, they've been saving to buy a house or a car or something, and invest it in some get-rich-quick scheme and lose years of work and toil for some quick thing. Thirdly, get-rich-quick philosophy deals deceitfully with people. Any investment where people are being deceived is improper and will lead to poverty. Assuming excessive debt, borrowing money to invest, dealing deceitfully with people, any of those characteristics are the get-rich-quick philosophy. Or fourthly, borrowing for desires rather than saving for them. Borrowing for desires rather than saving for them. That will lead to poverty. God promises to supply our needs. And what happens with many folks is they buy their wants instead of taking care of their needs. And when it comes time for their needs to come due, the bills for their needs, they don't have the money because they spent it on their wants. Or they'll go out and borrow money to buy something they want instead of saving the money to purchase it and earning what you're going to have. You'd be amazed. Maybe you wouldn't. I don't know. You'd be amazed at the number of people, if they sat down and figured out their income and what they owed, you'd be amazed at how many people couldn't even afford to go bankrupt because of what they owe. I mean, if you took their assets and their debts, there's no way they could ever. And every year they're going farther into debt instead of getting out of debt because of some of these same philosophies right here. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye. Don't look around you and find out how somebody else is living and try to live above your income. Be satisfied with what you've got and live within the income that you've got, not what somebody else has got. You can look around and see somebody that's making $50,000 a year and you're making $20,000 a year and try to keep up with them. You can't do it. Don't even try to do it. If you're making $20,000 a year, then you live on less than $20,000 a year. If you're making $50,000 a year, then you live on less than $50,000 a year. A wise man will always live on less than he makes. Most of America today is living on more than they make because we live in a credit card society and it's so easy to get credit. I get stuff in the mail all the time. Before Christmas, I got 3 checks in the mail. All I had to do is sign those things. Go ahead. I'll tell you, you got to pay for them someday. I get 3 checks, sign them. You need money? I must have got at least a dozen letters in the mail that says, need money for Christmas. I got checks sent to me. It says all you got to do is sign them. No interest till after Christmas. I mean, there are all kinds of ways. You can buy anything you need today. You can get the money for just about anything nowadays. The only trouble is you got to pay for it someday. And anything that leads to the get rich quick, borrowing for desires rather than saving for them. Last thing, Proverbs chapter 28. I skipped verse 8 there. He that by usury...